Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that we can be in your presence and that your Holy Spirit is with us now. Take that which I say, which is of yourself, and implant it in our hearts. And that which is not of your desire, Lord, help us forget it. So lead us now, we ask, in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is risen. Amen. Now, so-called Doubting Thomas and Jesus are the central persons of our Gospel reading in John. In his Gospel, John records time shortly after Jesus' resurrection. As we read, Thomas was not present with the other disciples at Jesus' first encounter. The motto, seeing is believing, is the mindset of many of us. It appears that this too was Thomas's thinking. It was 8 days after Jesus' first appearance to the disciples that Jesus spoke with Thomas. We note that Jesus' entry and greeting was the same at both presentations. I quote, "The doors were locked, but suddenly Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you," he said. Now, Jesus met Thomas where he was at in his faith journey. Jesus did not criticize Thomas. Instead, Jesus enabled Thomas to fulfill his need to rid himself of uncertainty. "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Now, Thomas needed no further bidding. He believed. His response to Jesus' kindness was spontaneous. "My Lord and my God." Now, let us not be critical of Thomas. The historical records tell us that Thomas became an evangelist similar to Paul after Paul had met with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Thomas chose to go to the east. Thomas arrived in Kerala, which is in southeastern India, in 52 AD. He apparently went by the sea route, and on the way he spread the gospel of Jesus at each landfill on his journey. Now, in the southeastern region of Kerala, Thomas established 7 churches and a memorial site where he erected a cross. Since then, several church denominations have been established after he was martyred in AD 72. So he didn't have a very long time of ministry. But each of these churches, though slightly different in denomination, acknowledge Thomas as their original founder. Now, the theme for today was our focus, celebrating the grace of God. What is it that we celebrate? Well, Paul helps us when we think of the significance of grace. Writing to the church of Ephesus, which was largely made up of new Christians who came from a non-Jewish background, Paul's letter reminded them and us that they became Christians by believing, and not by anything that they had done. And I quote from Paul, "God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things that he has planned for us long ago," end of quote. Now also, as we read in our reading in Acts, life for the early church member was pretty challenging. Now, opposition from the religious leaders of the Jews was intense. Now, just before what we read, it follows on from their arrest and imprisonment of the apostles and God's gracious actions in releasing them from prison. Remember? an angel came and opened up the doors and said, go. Following divine instructions, they re-entered the temple in the morning and continued preaching the good news of salvation through the risen Christ. They were arrested again and brought before the authorities, who again forbade them to preach of the resurrection of Christ. You notice that they were a bit upset because he said, you guys did it. Their response, that is the disciples' response, was, one we should adopt for ourselves and should live out. And they said, we must obey God rather than any human authority. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. End of quote. Now, we can't do this on our own. God graciously gives each individual giftings that enable them to fulfill Jesus' last request, which was, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So let's again acknowledge that it is God's gracious gift of Jesus to the risen Christ that we have been granted eternal life. Our response to such a wonderful thing of Jesus' statement, to go and make disciples, means that we've got a sacred work to do. And because, and I'm just going to quote to you the first verse of a song, many of you will know it, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Amen.